I am Gary Colley. You know, when we ask what God has done for us, it is so wonderful to note how many, many things daily He gives to us. There's the sunshine and the rain. There is the fruitful seasons. You know, God created the beautiful universe for man. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And God has created man in His own image, Genesis 1:27. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." And then third of all, God has concerned Himself with man's eternal salvation. John 3:16 and 17, He says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through Him might have life." And this, of course, in the Son, in the obedience to the gospel, in the church, in the body of Christ. All of these things amount to the same thing. Now, God didn't send His Son the first time to judge, but He will send Him the second time to judge. This time is to seek the salvation of all men. In Luke 19:10, He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So, my friends, He's looking for you and me, and that by His mercy and by His grace. Fourth of all, we want you to know that God sustains and strengthens His children. And this is something that God has done for us. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter said, "Cast all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." And then again, God has provided an eternal inheritance for the righteous, according to Revelation 21 and 22. What a gracious thing for God to do. After this life is over, and when our bodies go back to the corruption of the dust, then there is an eternal inheritance for the righteous. Will you, my friends, be among that number? You will if you obey the gospel of Christ. If you hear His word and believe it, repent of the sins of your life and confess the precious name of Christ His Son before men, and lower yourselves in the watery grave of baptism to wash away your sins, then you will be saved, the Lord said, Mark 16:15 and 16. But sixth of all, in the things that God has done for us, He's made provision to punish the wicked. And we must not forget that. "I saw a great white throne," John said, "and Him that sat upon it, from whom earth and heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books, according to their works." So when we think about all that God has done for us, how richly blessed we are in our world today. "For God so loved the world, even though the world was in sin." Romans 5:8 said, "But God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Hebrews 2:9 says, "We see Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor, that by the grace of God He might taste of death for every man." Hebrews 5:8 and 9 says, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey Him." Will He be your Savior, or will He be your judge to condemn you eternally? That depends on you. The grace has been offered. The way of salvation is there. But you must accept that, my friends, in simple, trusting, obedient faith. We know this to be a part, of course, of God's love, and what sometimes is referred to as the golden text of the Bible in John 3:16. Now, the blessings of this text can be all considered in superlative terms, can it? But what I want to know and to show you this morning, that is what John 3:16 refutes. It is a wonderful verse. But you know John 3:16 refutes atheism. John wrote that God so loved the world that He gave Jesus, that whosoever believeth might be saved. Atheists do not believe. Therefore, they cannot be saved in their atheism. Now, I know that one moment after death, there will be no atheist, because they will know then that God exists. They will know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This, of course, also refutes agnosticism. This verse, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, it reveals God. And in fact, it starts with God. 1 John 1, verse 1 and 2 and verse 5, John talks about Him whom we have seen and felt and talked with, and we know Him and we declare Him unto you. And yet, agnosticism says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, you could be sure. It also refutes Calvinism, and Calvinism is practiced by nearly every denominational body in the world. You know, one view of Calvinism is the doctrine of the limited atonement of Christ. Now, they say that Christ died only for the elect. If you're among the elect, you're saved. If you're among the lost, you're just lost, and there's nothing that you can do about it. One man said that he believed in Calvinism until he heard the gospel, the invitation of the Lord, the plan of salvation. He said up until that time, he had wept and prayed and wanted the Lord to save him, but not having received any answer from the Lord on that, of course, because the plan of salvation is already given in the gospel, he said he folded his arms and said, well, if the God of heaven wants me, he can just come and get me. But this verse extends God's provisions to all the world who will hear it. Whosoever's the word here, isn't it? And that will not allow God's love to be only for the arbitrary selected few of Calvinism. Gospel is for all. The gospel is extended to all. The invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But John 3:16 also refutes Unitarianism. You know, the arm of humanism, which is another word for atheism, denies that God is a personal being. Rather, they say that he is an impersonal force. Once in a while on the television, you hear people talk about the universe. They talk about the force of the universe. They don't want to acknowledge God. And however, we find Jesus was real and that he possesses the same nature and essence of God, and Unitarianism is wrong. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are indeed persons. They all possess the divine nature. But also John 3:16 refutes the oneness of Pentecostalism. You know, this group claims there is only one person in the Godhead. This verse, of course, presents God, and it presents Jesus as a separate person. Listen to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Once in a while, there are those who pray, and they say, we're thankful that thou hast given thy life for our sins, instead of God's Son. And then again, some pray in the name of God. To God, but we're taught to pray in the name of Christ, unto God. In Matthew 3:16 and 17, when Jesus was baptized, we find the three personages of the Godhead are represented. Jesus is in the water, the Spirit of God is descending as a dove, and God is in heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. In Matthew 28:19 and 20, all three of the three personages of the Godhead are mentioned. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What a sad thing that Pentecostalism says there's only one person in the Godhead. There are three, aren't there? And you can believe that and be saved, deny it, and you will be lost. In John 3:16, he also refutes the doctrine of the denominational creeds which allege that Jesus died that God might love us. What in the world are we thinking about? You know, this teaches that Jesus came to earth, that he died, that he made salvation possible because he loved us. Not in order to love us, but because he loved us. God extended his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. But this passage in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why, that refutes universalism too, doesn't it? Universalism claims, don't worry about all these perplexing doctrines. Just believe that you can be saved, and it doesn't matter what else you believe. It actually claims, universalism, that all will be saved. But this verse teaches us that only those who believe in Jesus will be saved. Listen to it again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What about those that refuse to believe in him? Well, they will perish, won't they? But this says in universalism, all shall be saved, none shall be lost, everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, wait a minute now. Let's read what the Lord said about that. in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. There he says, "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. But narrow is the gate and straitened is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." My friends, have you found it? Have you found the privilege of obedience unto the gospel by the grace of God given? And have you found that Son of God and followed His directions? He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you?" You know, John 3:16 is an important verse, isn't it? No wonder it's called the golden text of the Bible. John 3:16 is truly an amazing verse. Not only the superlative lesson it teaches, but also what it refutes. We're hopeful that you have enjoyed and profited from our study today. Why, my friends, would you not name the name of the Lord in confession this day upon your belief and repentance, and be buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins? That'll make you a Christian, and that will fulfill that which is promised in John 3 and verse 16.